Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Today, I want us to talk about peace a little bit. As if we're honest, all of us long for peace. We long for peace in our relationships. We long for peace at work. We long for peace in our finances, right? That's why we offer financial peace, right, Brad? Financial peace, because we want peace in our finances. We want peace. And so today, I want us to look at why this coming of this baby should impact the way that you and I walk this world and operate in peace. Now the definition of peace, if you look in the dictionary, is this, real simple. It's freedom from disturbance, quiet and tranquility. And so about 9 o'clock every night, the parents say amen, right? Like that, like peace and tranquility. That's what peace is, right? It's a lack of disturbance. But it's not just a lack of conflict. It's not just a lack of disturbance. It's actually more than that. And I love how Martin Luther King, such a wise man, just a man I admire a ton. This is what he said about peace. I want you to listen to this. This is what he said. He said, true peace is not merely the absence of tension. It is the presence of justice. True peace isn't just when I don't have conflict, when I don't have disturbances. It's actually the presence of justice. And that word justice, the root word is just. And that word just means morally right or fair. It's another word we could use for righteous or right standing. It's what is right. And so he says it's not only when we don't have arguments, it's not only when we don't have disagreements or disturbances, it's actually the presence of when things are done right and what is done in the circumstances actually is morally correct. That's what peace is. And as we look at Jesus, we see that the scriptures tell us that he is going to be this person of peace. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophet Isaiah, all the way back in the Old Testament, was foreshadowing this coming baby, this boy that was going to be born. And in chapter 9, verse 6, this is what it says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." And then this last one, Prince of Peace. This was the foreshadowing of the coming Messiah that the Jews were looking forward to. And then just as Ashley and Troy read a little bit earlier, if we flip forward to the book of Luke, where we read the story of Jesus and his birth, and Luke, we see that the shepherds, they were said, "Hey, come see this." The angels came and said, "Hey, there's something happening. You don't want to miss out." Can you imagine you're just hanging out with your sheep and angel appears in the sky and says, hey, you need to go over here. And then as they are saying that, a whole host of heavenly beings come around and they begin to say this, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among them who he is pleased." This idea of peace, this Advent, as we're celebrating the coming of Jesus and the future coming or return of Jesus, we see that peace is surrounding it. And the first thing I want you to write in your notes is this very simple truth. Jesus is peace. If you had a definition of peace, if you wonder what peace looks like, we can look at the life of Jesus and we can say, he is peace, because Jesus walked with justice and love, right? There was never a moment he was not just, where he was not fair and right in anything that he said or anything that he did or anything that he thought. He is the embodiment, the incarnation of peace. And so as we think of peace, as we try to put these things together this morning, we want to know what peace is. We should look to Jesus. He is peace. He never once had any friction, any fractured relationship with his heavenly Father. He is peace. But not only is he peace, Jesus offers us eternal peace. Jesus is peace, but he takes that peace that he is and he offers that to us. As I was thinking about this week and studying, I was thinking back to my days as an engineer, and I love to solve problems. Do we have any other problem solvers in the room? All the men just raised their hand, right? And some of the women for sure, but men just sometimes we think we can problem solve, and the wives are like, just shut up and listen sometimes, right? Anyhow, I was thinking about my problem solving days, and I was trained in some problem solving strategies. One called RCFA, root cause, failure, analysis. Anybody ever heard of that before? A couple of the engineers in the room? Yeah, so root cause failure analysis. The hope of this strategy is you take a problem and you drive down to the root or the core of the issue. And so you've got this issue, a leaky pipe. Why is that leaking pipe? Well, there's water. Well, why is that water there? Well, why did that valve get open? And so the whole hope in asking why a bunch of times, which is why, by the way, how engineers get paid so much, they just ask why a lot of times, right? Engineers, you know that's true, right? And the hope of RCFA, root cause failure analysis, is to get to what? The root cause, which most of the time is a system cause, not a person making a bad decision. Why was that person able to make that bad decision? That drives to the root, to the system. And so the hope is that if we can get that problem fixed at the source, at the root, then we're gonna have greater improvements, and we're also gonna have improvements that are sustainable, right? Now, when we're thinking about peace, I think we could attack it the very same thing. Like many of us, we have peace for moments, like, and it's gone, right? Like we want peace, and so we throw things at it, and we try to do things, and we want peace. But I think sometimes, or oftentimes, we don't attack the root of the problem. Therefore, we don't get the improvement that we long for, and we don't sustain peace. And so we're constantly on this cycle of peace, no peace, peace, no peace. And I think we've got to recognize that today, if we're going to be a people that embody this peace that Jesus offers, we've got to go to the core, to the origin of our lack of peace. And what we see in the scriptures, and what if we think about it and consider the whys long enough, we'll know that the source and the core of our lack of peace is one word, which is sin, right? That relationship with God that's been fractured is the source of all of our lack of peace in the world. All of our lack of peace is back to that one word, sin, which is leads to fractured relationship with God. But in the midst of that, Jesus offers us peace, not just a Band-Aid peace, but core peace. If you have your Bible, flip open to the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, we see that Paul is writing about this very same thing. He's telling us that there is something that's been done that we need to embrace today. He says this in chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, since we have been justified, right? There's that word just, made right, justified by faith, not by works, not by going to church, but by faith in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Jesus offers us eternal peace through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. It says here, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Now, a little bit later in the same chapter, Paul goes on, he says, for while we were weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. How many of you know we were born ungodly, right? You don't have to teach a kid to lie, right? Like, you don't have to. They know how to do it out the womb. They know. They know what it means to be selfish, right? We know that. That's our sin nature. He says, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one scarcely dies for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, somebody better say amen to that. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means when you were at your worst, if today you feel like you are at your worst, like you couldn't get worse, and you feel like God would never receive you, this is hope. There is peace in this because it says, when you were at your worst, Christ died for you. He's not surprised at the things you've done. He says, I died for that. And what we know here is that Christ, he offers us this peace. Now, I shared briefly, I think before, about 2 months ago or so, I was up in Ohio and I was preaching at a men's evening they had, and they asked me to come up and teach, and one of the guys that was in the congregation, the audience that night, was a guy who was deeply addicted to alcohol and drugs, had made a lot of really poor decisions from any account, just a lot of poor decisions that had left him in a pretty vulnerable, rough spot. He also was self-declared about a decade to be known as an angry atheist. Like, that's how he knew. And so anybody wanted to talk to God, man, he would love to talk to God because he wanted to tell them there is no such thing, right? Angry atheist shows up at this men's evening because there was free food, right? That's great. That's a great reason. God can work through our stomachs, right? And there's free food, so he shows up, and the friend of mine who knows this guy that invited him for about the last decade or so, he's been meeting with God, this guy. He actually hired him at one point and tried to speak truth into him and show him, express the kingdom and love and mercy and grace to him, but he wasn't receiving it. But that night when he was there in the audience, the grace of God was all over him. And for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit spoke really loud. And in that moment, this guy who was an addict and just messed up in a lot of areas of life, he said yes to God. I want forgiveness. I want to believe you. I trust you. And in that moment, guess what happened? He went from being an enemy of God to a friend of God. He went from being far from God to now he's near to God, so near that the scriptures tell him he can come into the throne room of God with confidence. So much nearness that God said, I'm gonna put my Holy Spirit, which by the way is not the third string quarterback of the Trinity. He is fully God along with the Father and Son. He says, I'm gonna put myself in you as a seal of your inheritance. And in this moment, his life was completely changed for eternity. And after everything was done, he came up to me. He was like a kid in a candy store. He was like so excited. Derek, I know I don't know you, but man, this is what happened tonight. And this is the thing that stuck with me that he said. He said, listen, he said, I have never known peace like this before. He said, there's just a weight that's been lifted off of me. There's a cloud that's been following me all the days that have been whispering things in my ear. He said, I've never experienced this kind of peace before. Now, here's what's interesting. Nothing in his circumstances had changed, did it? He still had decisions that he had made that he's going to deal with circumstances, right? But in the midst of the chaos, Jesus offered him peace, and he said yes, and he received it. And the third thing I want you to write in your notes is that this peace is offered and received wherever we embrace Jesus. Peace is available wherever we receive Jesus. And for this guy, this moment was his night where he received and embraced Jesus. And in that place, he experienced the peace of God that goes beyond understanding. Like, I got all these things still going on in my life. Like, I've made bad decisions. I don't know how I'm gonna go tell my girlfriend this or my parents this or my whoever this. But in the midst of that, there's peace that blows our mind. Are you kidding me? I've got peace for the first time in my life. We have peace wherever Jesus is embrace. Now, saying that, this is what I want to get at in this one line, is that saying that, that means the peace that God offers us through Jesus is not circumstantial. It's not peace that says when everything are going my way and I'm getting a good paycheck that I'm going to have peace. No, it doesn't say that. It says actually anywhere we embrace Jesus, we can operate in peace, even in the midst of a storm. And this is the life of Jesus, right? How many of you know Jesus walked in peace? Everything he said, everything he did was done in peace, right? How many of you know Jesus' life was not peaceful? I don't know if you've read the stories of Jesus, but my goodness, there are people that lied about him, people that wanted to see him killed consistently throughout his later years of life, people that came against him, people that used him, that wanted to be close to him in order to get something from him. Do we know about that sometimes, right? Like, Jesus' life was not peaceful. It was so not peaceful that he was beaten and he was hung on a cross to die. The King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, the one that brought. See, I'm picking up the East Tennessee, you know that. That the Prince of Peace, he says, even though my surroundings are crazy and nothing looks like it's going well, listen, I'm still at peace with my Father. This is the peace that he brings us. And not only did Jesus operate with this kind of peace, he said, this is the kind of peace that I'm gonna give you. Peace that's not dictated by the way that you live in a circumstance. And this is what I want to make sure we understand, because sometimes we miss out and we put our hope in a lack of conflict. But what he says is your hope, even in the midst of a lack of conflict, is Jesus, because he's the one that's your peace, right? And so Jesus gathers his disciples together, and at the end of his life in John 13, I think, or 16, 33, and he's telling them this. He's like, guys, I'm leaving. I'm gonna be killed. Like, I don't know how to tell you any other way. Like, listen, I will not be here. Listen to me. And they're like, no, like, we can't have that. Like, there's no way that the guy that I signed up to live with for 3 years and give my life to follow him, that he's gonna leave. And this is what Jesus says in verse 33. He says, I have said these things to you that you, in me, you may have peace. He says, in the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. See, Jesus, he doesn't sell us on something that's not true. He doesn't give us a gospel that's all, everything's great and everything's going to work out and you're going to be a millionaire and you may give 10% of it if you want to, right? Like, he didn't say that. He says, listen, if you're going to follow me, I'm going to give you peace, but I'm going to tell you that peace is going to be needed because you're going to walk through some tribulations. You're going to have persecuted. You're going to be, people are going to come against you for standing for truth, for associating with me. You're going to have issues where people are going to want to kill you, that people are going to take your job. There's going to be things in this world where you will have trouble. But he says, in the midst of that, I offer you peace if you would embrace me. Embrace my way of thinking. Embrace the way that I live my life. Embrace my teaching, and you will have peace even in the midst of a storm. Now, as we think about this, let me ask you a question. Has everybody at your work embraced Jesus? If so, you got a problem because you're probably lying, right? Is everybody on your street where your home is, have they all embraced Jesus? Maybe, maybe not. Let me ask you this question. This is a guarantee. Is anybody in our country, everyone in our country embraced Jesus? No. So guess what that means for us, folks? We're only going to experience peace in part because the core, the source of our lack of peace has not been taken care of through everybody. And so when we operate in this world and we go to work, we can expect there not to be peace sometimes. But that doesn't mean that we have to succumb to that, right? We recognize that we have peace in part, but here's the good news of Advent and why we're here today and we're talking about peace. Jesus came, the Prince of Peace, but he also said, I'm going to return, another Advent of preparation, of expectation. And when he does, the King of Kings will come and he will fully be embraced as the King of Kings and the Savior of the world. And when that happens, guess what else happens? Universal peace everywhere. There's no more divorce, no more cancer, no more relational conflict, no more people slandering one another, no more gossip. In the future kingdom, there is only peace, universal peace. That's what we look forward to as followers of Jesus. But here's the amazing thing, is that when we're in the in-between from Jesus' birth to his coming, this is what we're called to do, to express the kingdom of God in the future today. That's why he said, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we want to see the realities of the future kingdom come in today. And so we should be people that pursue peace, that live at peace and express peace. Now that's a big thing to do. And so here's five very, very quick tips that I want to give you that may help. But you can take maybe one or two or three of these and you can apply them to your life if you're experiencing a lack of peace in one area. Number one thing that I think Satan actually comes against us to destroy our peace is we've got to recognize that God is present. Satan's going to lie to you all day long that you are isolated, that you are far away from God. This is what I want you to know. In the midst of your circumstance, God is near. That's his promise. And just knowing that you're not alone can bring us peace. The second thing that we can write down is that we are to align ourselves with God's promises. Like, what's the scripture say about the situation that you're in? This is what the scripture say, that God is never going to leave you or forsake you. Romans 8, that he's working all things for our good. Even in the midst of difficulty, God is working on our behalf for our good. Or that he is our protector. That means when people are saying things about us, guess what I can do? I can rest and trust in God that he will protect. I don't have to try to defend myself, right? There's peace that comes with that. The third thing, and I think this is a little challenging, but I think we'll bring some peace maybe to some of you if you embrace this. We need to embrace an eternal perspective. What do I mean by that? That means that we've got to recognize that our bodies are on loan. That we are just here for a short time. This earth is good, but the present state of the earth is temporary. We're gonna have a resurrected body. We're gonna have the new earth and new heaven. But today we've gotta recognize that the things that I'm struggling with, they're not eternal. The health that I'm battling with is not eternal. The fight with somebody in your family, that is not eternal. And if we have that perspective, it allows us to step back and to see, man, you're right. Man, I can get through this because it's not forever. There is a future kingdom where there is going to be peace. And this is what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, so we do not lose heart. Some of us just need to hear that this morning. You're going through some conflict. Do not lose heart. This is what Paul continues to write. He says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. But what you're dealing with now, the struggles that you're having, the lack of peace that you're walking through, that is actually preparing you for the future glory of God and his kingdom. Have an eternal perspective. The fourth thing I think is the most practical. Don't own other people's response or outcomes. How many of you know there is no peace when I try to control what somebody's gonna respond to me, right? How many of you know there's no control when I'm trying to, or there's no peace when I try to control an outcome, right? Like I'm gonna give you present givers just a piece of advice. If you want peace, don't own your kids' response to the gift that you got them. And if you got new kids, let me tell you, they're gonna like the box more than the toy anyhow, right? I'm telling you, there will be more peace if you don't try to own and manipulate the response of other people in your life. There will be peace that you can never understand. If you would stop trying to control how people respond, how people talk, how people decide, don't try to do it. There will be peace. And the fifth thing is one that I actually added late this week. And so if you got notes, you can write this down. Choose to walk in honor and integrity. In any circumstance, let me tell you, if you want to have peace when you lay down at bed at night, the best advice I can tell you is walk with honor and integrity. Because regardless of what happens, at the end of the day, you can say, man, I've honored you, God. I've honored the people in my life, and I've walked in integrity the best I know how. This is the advice I give. So if you want to come and to my office and get advice, this is the office advice that I give along with Santa. So hopefully it won't be over there watching you. But this is the advice I give, right? When somebody comes to me and says, hey, my spouse wants a divorce, they're being really absurd. And this is the advice I give to the spouse that wants the marriage to work. Honor God by honoring your spouse. But they're spitting in my face and they're calling my name. Honor your spouse. Walk and integrity. Because regardless of how your marriage ends, if it ends up in divorce, this is what I can tell you. At the end of it, you can say that you walked with honor and integrity to God and to the person. Same thing at work, man. You should, Derek, man, if you knew the things that were happening in my workplace, or if you knew what was going on in the church, listen, my response, you control yourself. You walk with honor and integrity. And I'm telling you, there will be more peace in your life, regardless of what happens at work. If you get fired, if you get passed over for the promotion, listen, don't go gossip at work. Don't go try to spin the story and tell somebody else what's been happening at work. Don't do that. There's lots of words that talk about gossip in the word that says when you gossip, there's gonna be a lack of peace in your life. So honor and integrity. I'm telling you, that's the way of Jesus. That's when we embrace Jesus. And as we embrace him, we experience peace. And so this week, I want you to consider, what area of your life are you lacking peace? And what out of these five things could you actually apply to your life this week to embrace Jesus and find the peace that's promised in eternity today? That's my prayer. And that last verse there, I think we've got it on the screen here, is the prayer that I've been praying over our congregation this week. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. That's my prayer for you this season, evening this week, that we would receive the peace and walk in. And let me pray for you, and then we're gonna sing some Christmas songs. Father, thank you that you sent your son Jesus to provide peace with you, but also peace with one another. Yeah. Lord, may we experience the future rule and reign of God where there is complete peace. May we experience a part of that in our own lives. May we be a people that even in the midst of a storm, in the midst of tribulation and persecution and wrongdoing, that we would be a people that rest in your peace that you offer us because we embrace you. Or just may peace just abound upon our congregation as we enter this Christmas season. May you stir us up for joy, and may we have peace when we've got relational tension, when we've got other issues going on. Lord, you said that you came to give us peace. May we embrace it and live it out and overflow to others this Christmas. In Jesus' name.